A radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's the Paul Gallant Show.
Pauly G Show. He's the best in Houston.
Houston's most interactive sports talk show.
Hey, how's it going, Paul?
Oh, what's good, my man?
How you doing, Paul?
What are you doing, Paul?
Join the conversation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776.
I love the show. Y'all keep it up.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
The Astros have seemingly avoided a sweep at the hand of the Milwaukee Brewers. There's still plenty of time left in the game, but they lead 6-1 in the bottom of the seventh inning. Framber Valdez still on the hill, six innings pitched to this point. He has seven strikeouts, just two walks, three hits. One of the hits a home run. That's the one run that the Milwaukee Brewers have. The home run hit by someone who has a last name that you would think somebody from Wisconsin would have. Eric Haas. It's a German-sounding name. Not to stereotype the fine people of Wisconsin. Wisconsin's great. Milwaukee, give it 2 months. If you've never been on a vacation to Milwaukee, highly recommended. I think it's a beautiful place. I had a really good time there. Was there for a wedding. Walked around the city, very easy to walk around. The buildings are all cream colored. It's actually a surprisingly very cool city.
That's why they call it Cream City.
That's right.
I'm guessing that's a summer destination.
Yes, 100%. The Astros lead 6-1. They got more than three runs. Unbelievable. So going into today's game, they had scored three runs or less. And I think the number is 21 of 35. So now they've scored three runs or more in 15 of 36, if I'm doing my math correctly. A little more than a third of their games. Huzzah! We're moving in the right direction. And it's all thanks to somebody who's been struggling since the beginning of the month with runners in scoring position. Jeremy Pena homered in the top of the sixth inning today. Jeremy Pena, leadoff hitter, made them pay. He's got four RBIs today. So how about that? That's neat. That's splendid. That's wonderful. Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5, 92.5, 713-780-3776 to call to text. YouTube at ESPN Houston, Twitch at ESPN 975. Houston Rockets officially in their offseason. We heard from Ime Udoka. We heard from Rafael Stone for their end-of-season press conference yesterday. I don't know if there's going to be any locker cleaning out day for Rockets players if we hear more from Jalen Green, amongst others. We'll see. But I want us to all agree on these things when it comes to the Rockets for the entirety of this offseason. Things can change next regular season. I'm of the belief that you never need to stay married to a take, to a thought. If things change, you should be allowed to change your opinion. But these are all things that we should agree on. One. Amen Thompson is the Houston Rockets' best player, and this is not debatable. We want him to work on his range this offseason. How much better can his range get in one offseason? I wouldn't hold your breath on him being significantly better next year than he was this season as a scorer, but clearly his confidence brings a lot to the table, and perhaps he will become a better scorer over the course of another 82-game slate. In this offseason. I'm just not expecting it to be that much. Also, Thompson is as close to untouchable as possible. The Rockets said yesterday, Udoka, Stone, that no player is untouchable. We're not untouchable. Well, I think Stone's a little more touchable than Udoka. Just a thought. I do think that this turnaround is entirely Udoka in terms of the mentality, the culture shift. And Stone deserves some credit, but doesn't have the pelts on the wall to tell me that a question I asked is flawed, or to brag about how he can manipulate data. So can anybody. Another treatise of the Paul Gallant Rockets offseason doctrine. Alperen Şengün is the Houston Rockets' second best player. This is not debatable. He is not completely untouchable, but he's close to untouchable. I need to get Giannis or someone on that level in any trade that involves Şengün. I think you should draw a hard line when it comes to him. Now, he's got a big offseason in front of him, and if he does not take it seriously, then maybe this is a different discussion next offseason. But right now, he's their second best player. He needs to get stronger. He needs to get in better shape. I think he could do both of those things. But I do not think it will be easy. He does have all the skills. It's really a matter of, can he finally power through some of the guys who are posting him up? Because there's definitely a little bit of a finesse element to his game that we all think could get a little bit better. And then, of course, hey, you want more minutes, especially if you're putting more effort in on the defensive end. A little bit better shape, I think he could get in. I am not entirely out on Jalen Green. I do think he was the victim of Elite Warriors defense. I think he's got a lot of skills that he brings to the table that, since they are on his person now, you want to have him around because Amen Thompson doesn't quite have that right now. But I don't ever want to hear about Jalen Green as a star again. I don't want to ever hear about him as being anything more than the third best player on the Houston Rockets again. And I would like the option to block his Wingstop ads. You can watch the Wingstop ads if you want. I would like him to. I would like to not see them anymore. I'm Baker Mayfielded out after this playoff series, Sean, by Jalen Green's Wingstop commercials.
He only had one. Baker had five different ones. But yeah, I do agree. At the very least, we're done with the Wingstop commercials, and like you said, we're done with him being viewed as the star of this team. When ABC or TNT has the promo for, you know, Rockets versus whoever next season, I want that promo to feature Şengün,
yes.
Thompson,
yes.
Fred VanVleet, those guys, more than Jalen Green. And Jalen Green this year was still in that spot where when they would, hey, we got Rockets Warriors tonight, Jalen Green and the Rockets take on Steph Curry. He's not at that level anymore.
Wingstop was founded in Garland, Texas.
Oh,
their
wow.
headquarters are located in Addison, Texas. They're not headquartered in Houston, but they have a lot of restaurants in Houston. So maybe that commercial isn't national. Is Wingstop a Texas thing?
I think it is national.
2,000 locations worldwide.
Yeah.
But a Texas-born brand. So,
but I think the commercial is, because I saw other other people were tweeting about, like, how does Jalen Green have a Wingstop
wild.
Ad every commercial break?
Well, I don't know how many wing stops they have in Turkey, but could Alperen Şengün become the wing guy?
Turkey stop.
Turkey stop. Yeah, turkey wings. The Şengün special.
Yeah, no, I agree that I think the national ad campaigns need to focus on either Şengün or Thompson. I mean, there's something there with the twins. You can get them in a State Farm or something.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. That's so State Farm. You're right on the money with that.
Well, actually, we'll probably be annoyed by that this time next year.
Sure, but not yet. From the 832, Şengün needs to get in the gym with Dream this offseason. His footwork is atrocious. He looks like he travels every time he touches the ball. I could not agree with that texter more. That is a great point. Yes. Oh, God. He got away with so many travels, and they don't really call travels anymore. And there's a lot of insufferable D-bags online who are like, this actually isn't a travel, who will like show you some a-hole who's like running through the lane and doing a bunch of twirls and twists and stuff. I hate those people. Those are the people that deserve to be hard fouled. You know, I want Draymond. I want Draymond Green to accidentally, spastically affect your person. And by affect your person, I mean kick you in the nuts. More from the Houston Rockets offseason doctrine, the things that we all should agree on when it comes to the Rockets. Fred VanVleet slander is outlawed. Outlawed. We will crack down on you like we are British or German authorities. If you say anything online about Fred VanVleet after what he did in this series, yeah, we're sending you to jail. Steven Adams slander is outlawed. I don't think there's much Steven Adams slander to begin with, though. If you do slanderize, is that a word? Steven Adams, guess what? He's coming to your house. He's just going to knock on the door. Ime Udoka, we trust. Please give Jabari Smith more minutes next time. Rafael Stone, olive branch. For the past two seasons, I'm willing to forget the Steven Silas era and his obsession with Kevin Porter Jr. Spare me with the nerd crap. Look, manipulating numbers. It was the worst thing. All other players for the Rockets that are not named Amen Thompson and not named Alperen Şengün unless it's for Giannis, are on the table for a trade, and all draft picks are on the table. And if anyone suggests bringing James Harden back, not only do I think you should be arrested, I think you should be drawn and quartered. But like in a way where it doesn't kill you. How about that? No more James Harden takes. No, no. You're bad. You're just bad. You're a bad person if you want to bring back Harden. What? You're a bad person. You are a bad person if you want to bring that guy back into this.
James Harden would have put this team over the top in Game 7.
This is the... Ime Udoka won like a level of Harden that he's never had. Yeah. Oh, like the ability to party a little bit more because he'll have less of a role and maybe get benched like Cam Whitmore? That would be kind of funny to bring Harden back and bench him like he's Cam Whitmore. I would like that.
Game 7, they could have used James Harden. Classic James Harden, Game 7 performer.
That's Sean Behind the Glass. I'm Paul Gallant. Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5, 92.5 on YouTube at ESPN Houston, on Twitch at ESPN 97.5. Speaking of Jalen Green, how much should last night's Warriors-Timberwolves game change your opinion of Jalen Green? And man, it's a bummer the Rockets are out of these playoffs because we're in the midst of May Madness. We go around the NBA really quickly next. Paul Gallant Show, stay put.
ESPN 97.5. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Paul Gallant Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Most interactive sports talk show in town. You want to jump in, 713-780-3776 is how you call. It's how you text. On YouTube at ESPN Houston. On Twitch at ESPN 975. We thank you so much for joining us. I am excited for the return of Round Ball Rock. We saw a promo for it at the Kentucky Derby. But the best version of Round Ball Rock was done on Saturday Night Live back in the day, when Tim Robinson of the amazing sketch comedy show, I Think You Should Leave, delivered us this gem. Some lyrics that we never actually heard for Round Ball Rock. We play it whenever we talk about everything going on across the world of the National Basketball Association. Hit it!
Basketball, give it, give it.
The Cleveland Cavaliers, best team in the Eastern Conference. Unbelievable record of the regular season, are now down 0-2 to the Indiana Pacers after this from Tyrese Haliburton. Boo.
Misses Haliburton, the rebound. 9 seconds. They do have a timeout. Carlisle's going to let him play. Haliburton steps back and hits. Tyrese Haliburton trying to take Cleveland's heart. And it is over.
Oh, no. Cleveland sports losing again. Oh, man. You hate to see it. You hate to see it. I'll be honest. I just am annoyed by the amount of number one overall picks the Cavs have gotten over time. They do appear to have a team finally that could threaten in the Eastern Conference, but injuries not helping them out. This Pacers team is scrappy, and I think a lot of people forgot that former Dallas Mavericks coach Rick Carlisle is running the show in Indiana. I'll be honest, I totally forgot about that, and I watched a Celtics-Pacers series last year in the playoffs. Totally forgot about that over the course of a year. I am getting older. My memory is starting to fade me, Sean. Don't hate me too much.
No. He doesn't really... I mean, I guess this is just being in Indiana versus being the coach of the Mavericks.
Yeah.
Where, yeah, I just... I'm like, oh, yeah, it's Rick Carlisle. Or if you're thinking about, you know, the best 10 coaches in the league, you're like, oh, Rick Carlisle's still in the league. He's still in the league and still one of the best coaches there is. So, yeah, while the Cavs are injured and were very injured for the last game, this Pacers team is for real, and they're in a really good spot to take this thing home.
Yeah, man. If I'm the Cavs, I'm kind of stunned.
Yeah. I mean, it sucks because, like, it is Mobley and Garland that got hurt. And so it's not, like, it's not completely representative of who you guys are. But it also does kind of reinforce, you know, the kind of casual fan take of, you know, for guys like us who don't watch every Cavs game and we see that they won 60-something games, we're like, all right, let's see in the playoffs,
exactly,
guys. And it reinforces that even with the team and the Pacers that we also probably don't take as seriously as we should.
I'm taking them a little more seriously after this.
Yeah, for real.
Also, around the NBA, whoa, okay, Golden State Warriors. In a game where Steph Curry injured his hamstring and where Buddy Hield got off to a very slow start before eventually catching fire late, the Golden State Warriors took down the extremely rested Minnesota Timberwolves 99-88 in a game that was not that close. Honestly, this is the biggest blowout thus far of the second round, which also goes to show you, this has been a really fun second round of the playoffs. May Madness?
Yeah, and it's a classic game where the team that you think is underdogs goes up big and then become way bigger underdogs. So the entire time you're like, okay, here comes the Wolves 20-2 run that puts them ahead. And they never had it. They cut it, I think, the single digits a couple times, but the Warriors had just enough from, of all people, and I know Houston Rockets fans are like, of course this guy. But Buddy Hield, man, in that second half, he got hot. Awesome. He was just doing Klay Thompson stuff.
It was funny watching Rockets fans deal with what they were watching in the first half of this game. Because first off, Anthony Edwards, they completely swarmed him. He had 1 point in the first half. And this is a rough game for Anthony Edwards, because first off, Edwards brought up a story where Steve Kerr explained that the Warriors weren't going to draft him. Man, imagine if the Warriors had Anthony Edwards. And two, he also brought up that he wants to play the Warriors because he doesn't like Draymond. And then this game happens. Now, Edwards did wake up in the second half and got going. And I think if you are a Warriors fan going forward, you're like, the hamstring injury. Goodness. But to bring it back to how Rocket fans were feeling, imagine watching this game where, one, Steph Curry gets hurt, two, Buddy Hield for a time came back to earth, and three, oh, wait, maybe Jalen Green isn't necessarily the problem. Anthony Edwards is just getting taken out by a great defense. It must have been a very difficult place to be in.
Yeah, it is the classic, you know, we all watch seven games of the Warriors with, you know, high intensity. It's like we feel very comfortable what we think this Warriors team is, but we know what this Warriors team is when they're facing the Rockets. And right. So when you put that team, same thing with the T-Wolves too. We know what the T-Wolves look like when they're playing the Lakers. Now they're getting the Warriors. So it was a like change. It added a lot of context, I feel like, for both teams, where you go, oh, okay, so the Warriors do have like a for real awesome defense. Also, Buddy Hield still is Buddy Hield, and then in the second half he gets red hot again. But you still see a little bit of the like, oh, okay, so that was only against us. All right, cool. Or some stuff where it's like, okay, that's just an us problem. That's an everybody problem.
After the game, Timberwolves coach Chris Finch had some pointed words for Anthony Edwards.
You mentioned kind of the energy, the spirit starts with Ant. Is that something that you and he talk about maybe ahead of game two now?
No, I mean, what is there to talk about? I mean, you're the leader of the team, and you got to come out and set the tone, you know, in all ways that happens. And if your shot's not going, like, you still have to carry the energy, you know. So, you know, I don't think there's, you know, if I got to talk to guys about having the right energy coming into opening second round game, then, you know, we're not on the same page. So
I'm sorry that I keep on bringing up James Harden, but can you imagine how James Harden would have responded had Kevin McHale called him out in that way?
Not in that way, but I think we saw how he handled Kevin McHale calling him out.
He got him fired.
Yes. I mean, the ultimate irony of them coming back from 3-1 again game six while James Harden was on the bench. And
got Mikal fired.
Six and seven, neither of those games are close. That James Harden was pretty clearly setting up to like have Mikal fired after that series. And then they won, and so it was like a little bit of, I guess we have to bring this guy back. And they brought him back for 10 games and fired him anyway.
Yeah.
Good time.
I mean, Kevin Mikal, Celtics legend.
Yeah.
Bothers me. Really does bother me. I mean, I don't think he was the best coach, but I thought Harden was such a bitch with the way he handled that situation.
Yeah.
And who's the better player all time? Mikal than Harden. I'll go to my grave saying that. I know that's a crazy take to have, but I don't think it's that crazy.
It is crazy. Like,
he was clearly the second best player,
but it's not as far apart as people think. People underrate Kevin McHale.
He was awesome. He was clearly the Celtics' second best player when they had Larry Bird, who was maybe the best player in the league at that time, or Michael Jordan. Magic Johnson. Yeah, Jordan eventually did overtake him. Both. All right, continuing to go across the NBA, the Buddy Hield, Jimmy Butler. Bromance is something else. The Warriors, God, it sucks that they advance. They really are going to town with these references to Batman as a team.
Draymond declared that tonight Jimmy became Batman and Buddy went from Alfred to Robin. Do you guys have any comments on that declaration?
No.
I'll start out.
No. I'm Batman today. I saved the day. He's still Robin.
All right. Well, I'm still Robin, yes. And Steph's still Batman. And Buttered is still who he is.
I mean, Buttered.
It's okay. But you had another good game, man. Except for that stupid thing you did at the beginning of the game when you have on the right shorts. It's not real Robin and or Batman-like.
Well, in Buddy Hield's defense, Batman and Robin, they wore tights, not pants. So I think it's a little more difficult to forget what shorts that you're wearing. It is really funny that Buddy Hield had the wrong pair of shorts on when he went out.
That is, again, that's a little bit of like, okay, so Buddy Hield's still Buddy Hield.
But I got to say, that is 100% on the Golden State Warriors, that's even a possibility that he could put on the wrong shorts.
Yeah.
Because there's so many uniform combinations that these NBA teams have right now. Like, hey, man, like, have it ready to go for him. You know, if you're – there's not that many players to get things ready for. Yeah. Obviously, yes, accountability. Butler should – or not Butler. Hield should have
known. Look at the pants you're putting on.
Yeah, but –
and then look at everyone else's.
There's that, too.
Yeah, no, I do think – I wonder – this is like a logistics thing. But you saw with the Rockets, like, they would wear different jerseys – on the road. Sometimes you wear the red, sometimes you wear the white. I'm sure they had the blacks just in case. Like, I do wonder how many... Do they have to bring all the combinations with them everywhere? Because I could see how mistakes happen.
I think so. Because, yeah, mistakes, laundry issue. This was something I was always very terrified about playing high school football growing up, was game day having the wrong uniform.
Yeah. Did you guys have a bunch of...
We had four jerseys, and we had three pants.
Okay. I could see. Yeah. Especially, you know, group of 15 to 18-year-olds. I could see how mistakes could happen.
A little different
than the NBA playoffs.
I washed this was a process. Every night when I got home from football, because I wasn't a disgusting slob, I would wash my practice jersey, and I'd wash the pants. But our practice jerseys were red, and our pants were white. Yeah. So I'd have to do a separate load for each because no one wanted to have pink pants.
I'm sure your mom.
It happened a lot. So I'd do like a small load for just the jersey, and then I'd do a small load for the pants. It was a process, but I did it. I did it every single night. Like, my mom did not have to do it, and I became really good at laundry entirely because of that.
That's still a lot of water to be using every night.
Eh, whatever.
Okay.
Whatever. Save it for the next generation. Not. They'll figure it out. Desalinate. Sean Mace behind the glass. I'm Paul Gallant. That's around the NBA. And the Rockets, yeah, they're dead. RIP in peace. Up next, who's washed in the world of sports? I can't believe who's potentially getting nominated. Not by me, but by perhaps an ungrateful Houston fan base. Who? You'll find out on the other side. Stay put.
Yeah. ESPN 97.5. You're locked in with the Paul Gallant Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
Most interactive sports talk show in Houston. On YouTube at ESPN Houston, on Twitch at ESPN 97.5. Junior Broncos asked, the last segment I was talking about all the equipment that we had in high school football, asking, you didn't have an equipment manager, wipe your, wash your equipment? No, we did not have an equipment manager. I think we were at a point in our school. There was a lot of too cool for insert, just fill in the blank at our school. Our school thought it was too cool for school. They still think they're too cool for a high school reunion, for God's sakes. There hasn't even been an attempt to organize one. I still talk with some of my high school friends, but no. We had no equipment manager. People didn't like the football team because the football team took all of the school's budget for athletics, and we were above average.
It'd be one thing if you guys were Alabama.
Yeah, you know? We were not. Our girls' soccer team and our baseball team were, at the time I was in school, really, really good.
How many uniforms did they get, huh?
Just
many alternates?
The baseball team had a lot, but the girls' soccer team had just two. And the girls' soccer team made it to the state finals every single year. Alas. Then they'd run into this team of ogres. Not fun. They're all like 6'3", and by 6'3", I mean probably like 5'8". But from the 830Y, I applaud you washing your practice gear off and washing them both and separately every single day as a high schooler is absolutely insane. I'm just talking about on weekdays. Speaking of washing, time for a little Washed Watch Wednesday.
We all know something or someone that's washed.
He was a bum then, and he's a bum now.
From dating apps.
Swipe, 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 swipe.
To Skip Bayless.
It's my turn!
To Scott Boras. It's time to find out who's on Washed Watch on the Paul Gallant Show.
Forgot that Joe called out Scott Boras so much. Joe George currently at a game at Wrigley Field. Still works at the station, by the way. It's just the me show now, but happy Joe's getting some time to hang out in the place where he's from. I can't believe how much criticism that I have seen for this guy over the last couple of days. Jose Altuve is taking an online beating, specifically from an X account at Microphone Milo. Here's one thing that he posted, but this is tame. Jose Altuve is not above criticism, folks. He's cost them big time in this baseball game with a ridiculous bunt and then getting thrown out, in parentheses, like clockwork on the bases. He has been playing bad baseball for weeks now. This type of stuff can't happen from him. By the way, the base running incident, Joe Espada gave a two-word answer when asked about it after yesterday's game. I thought it was telling. Espada said, good play by Contreras. I don't think he meant it. But this guy, at Microphone Milo, wasn't done. He is really going after Altuve. Look at this one. Jose Altuve was allowed to play a careless and stupid brand of baseball because he's been playing on teams loaded with talent for so long. He didn't need to be fundamentally sharp. You could tolerate the blunders on the bases. He is not playing like a pro right now. Damn, dog. That seems a little intense, if not a stretch. No? I mean, look, he's struggling. A lot of Astros players are struggling. But I still am of the belief that Jose Altuve slander and criticism, fair criticism, is whispered. It is whispered. It is not posted online by someone who is a tribute account to the late Milo Hamilton. What would Milo do? He wouldn't do that. He would not do that. Not cool. But some believe Altuve has washed Sean Mapes online. It's a sizable portion. And I think that yesterday, the Killer Bees were even talking about it.
Yeah. But I agree with you that you can't be doing that. Otherwise, then, like, what's this all for? You know? What's the point of watching every single Astros game and talking about it if Jose Altuve, the best player in your club's history, you're already just being like, this guy sucks.
Yeah, that's a fair point.
Like, I get it. I get it when it's a farewell tour kind of thing where, you know, a guy's late 30s, 40s, where he's more of like the team mascot than anything. And you're like, hey, listen, in basketball, you're like, in a close game, can we like not run the offense through this guy? Like through old ass Dirk or whoever, you know, Tim Duncan on his last year. Although Tim Duncan was pretty good. But the slander on Jose Altuve, it's again, there's nothing in May that should get you so mad that you're like, this guy isn't a pro baseball player.
Yeah.
Unless it's Jose Abreu. But a guy who started the season red hot, by the way.
Right.
We're not even that far away from he was the best player on this team.
We're not even a month and a half in. We're close to a month and a half in. But yeah, I settled down a little
bit. We're like what? 3 weeks from he's the best player on the team? Like, it's been 3 weeks of him not being, again, awesome.
Right.
And we're already doing the rage tweeting.
Mm-hmm.
Get over yourself.
We're almost a quarter of the way through the year. That's kind of crazy to think about. But, yeah, I'd settle down. Actually washed, Ryan Presley, who the Astros do not have anymore.
Yeah.
Yesterday, Ryan Presley became the only major league reliever to allow 8-plus earned runs in a game, not get an out, and take the loss since earned runs became official in both leagues in 1913. Damn, that's rough.
Long leash for Ryan Presley, giving up 8 runs without getting an out, but yeah.
You can run on for a long time, run on for a long time. Sooner or later, you're going to allow 8-plus earned runs in a game, not getting out, and take the loss. Sooner or later, you're going to allow 8-plus runs in a game, not getting out, and take the loss.
Would you
Why
say
aren't you holding up a candle, Sean? Why aren't you holding up your cell phone?
Sorry.
Wait a second. Let's do it one more time. You can run on for a long time. Run on for a long time. Sooner or later, you're going to allow 8-plus earned runs in a game, not getting out and take the loss. It's the first time that's happened since 1913. There you go. Sorry, Ryan. We had to do it. The closer's entrance for a middle reliever. And Sean, I appreciate you turning off the lights as commitment to the bit. But that's rough. So yeah, I think Ryan Presley is washed. What else is washed? Is marriage washed? Is marriage washed? This is Paul Pierce on a podcast. An all-time clip. Just listen. It starts off like he's making a profound point. The last couple of clips, though, dang.
Because I feel like every relationship shouldn't be based off sex, but every relationship is based off of that.
That's I don't think so.
100%. You can't tell me nothing different. This is what I feel, and that's why I'll never be in another relationship, because it's always based off of that.
So you're not going to be in another relationship?
Hell no. For what? Because it's going to be based off the sex. Once that wear down, you're going to go find somebody else that's better. Yeah. It ain't going to be based off of... This is the thing. And listen carefully.
Listen carefully. I'm listening.
Relationships... Let me tell you what marriage is all about. Let me tell you what marriage is. And who's marriage for. Marriage is for old people and poor people.
Do we want to hear from Paul Pierce? Is marriage washed? Is it for old people and poor people? Just asking the question. I'm just asking the question. But damn...
It is, I don't think I agree, but I respect the take. I can always tip my cap to a good take.
Just tip your cap.
Also, why is Paul Pierce doing
marriage counseling?
Marriage
talk?
Counseling again after
the strip club thing or the strippers on TV that got him off of ESPN thing?
I was even saying that. I was going to say after 4 great basketball games the last 2 nights, one including his Boston Celtics.
I mean, I do want to hear Paul Pierce's takes on the
in
ladies.
In the summer, I think this is... If I was the producer of this Paul Pierce show, I'd be like, hey, listen. Could we maybe talk about Haliburton? Could we maybe talk about the Celtics missing 45 threes? What are your thoughts on that, Mr. the Truth?
Mr. the Truth. Sir.
You were known as a player to be quite the mid-range assassin. What do you think of Jason Tatum taking step-back jump shots over Munchkin? Yeah, I I don't know why people are going to Paul Pierce for marriage advice.
I don't either. But or just relationship talk. Yeah, that's the last
I'm glad he's talking about it. Finally, a podcast talking about relationships.
He did. I know, Jesus. Celebrities are in everything now.
40-year-old unmarried guy talking about marriage.
He did give. It is the same as a married person giving a single person advice. But he did go into detail about his upbringing. It actually was a little bit of a sad story. But, yeah, I'm not sure I agree with Paul Pierce here. For the 832, thank you for this, Texter. Marriage is for honest people. Yes, you have douchebags who cheat. And NBA players have, what, 5 or 6 baby mamas? A little bit different. Well, not all do. Not
Sounds
all.
Like that's an old or poor person.
Yeah. For Paul Pierce.
Hey, are you married? If so, check yes for poor.
You're poor by default. You know, we were poor in the wallet, but we were rich in a little thing that we like to call love.
Aw.
That is cute. Anyway, Paul Galancho, ESPN 97.5, 92.5. 713-780-3776 to call, to text, YouTube at ESPN Houston, on Twitch at ESPN 97.5. I think I got one of the Twitchers in trouble because I was talking about strippers. Listen, Paul Pierce is talking about marriage, and then we got to talk about what else Paul Pierce is known for, which these days is being taken out of a game in a wheelchair because he had to take a dump. Or may have pooped his pants.
Or a serious injury that he immediately recovered from.
He could have been that. Or for the time that he had an Instagram Live and got canned from ESPN because there's a bunch of strippers shaking their thing. Watch yourself! Shake that thing! Show me what you want! All you pimps that are in the house, right here is the place to be. Shake your ass! It's Paul Galancho. Stay put.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to the Paul Gallant Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
Last chance to dance, the Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5, 92.5, on YouTube at ESPN Houston, on Twitch at ESPN 97.5. Your beloved Houston Astros are back in the win column with, get this, not one, not two, not three runs. Like we have seen happen in, 21 or 22 of their first 36 games. No, they didn't score just 4 runs or 5 runs or 6 runs either. They scored not 7 runs, not 8 runs, 9 runs. 9-1 on the road. Close out a road trip, 2-4. They had lost 5 of 6. Nice way to get back in the old W column. This was a game where you saw Jeremy Peña hit a homer and get a double. He had 4 runs batted in. This is a game where you saw Yiner Diaz get a clutch hit. He had, not really clutch, I mean it was kind of pouring on, but he had a 2-run double in the 9th inning. Isaac Paredes had a 2-run had a single knocking in Jeremy Peña as well. This was, after a slow start offensively, where 2 of the Astros' 3 runs were via fielder's choice and a pass ball, they're able to get it going at the end, and hopefully they can carry that into their next series. Fran Revaldez went 7 innings. He had 7 strikeouts. He did allow a home run, but just 3 hits, 2 walks. It's a nice bounce back. And you also saw a little Brian Abreu and a little Josh Hader. Ideally, this is the kind of performance that you want out of your pitching in a playoff kind of environment. Up next for the Astros, who lost 2-3 to the effing White Sox. I still can't get over that. At least the Brewers are around 500. They play the Cincinnati Reds over the weekend at Daikin Park. Then they have 3 games against the Kansas City Royals before. Pretty interesting series to wrap up the month of May. Road trip from May 15th through 18th against the Rangers. 4-game series. A 4-game series against the first-place Seattle Mariners from the 22nd to the 25th. First time playing the Rangers this year. It'll be for the Astros and the Mariners, their 2nd series. The Mariners won that series the first time. And then after that, 2 home games against the Athletics, who have 20 wins, which is as many as all the teams in the American League. Not combined, but just as many as all the teams.
They would lead the American League.
They'd be tied for the lead, I think, with the New York Yankees. The Yankees might have played one less game, so they might have a half game up. Also, and this is just, you know, pouring it on top of the misery of Rockets fans, but Steph Curry's going to miss a week with a hamstring strain. Isn't it frustrating that it's a hamstring injury? You know, sort of like Chris Paul suffered against the Warriors back in 2018.
Oh, yeah.
And Curry gets a hamstring injury, but it's not against the Rockets. It's against the Warriors. I would have gladly taken a Steph Curry hamstring injury to advance to the second round of the playoffs, even though I like Steph Curry and I never root for anybody to be injured. If that's the way it had to be, that's the way it had to be. If that's the way it had to be, I would have taken it. Sorry, with this team, I would. This is not an iron sharpens iron. This is like claw your way by any means necessary.
Lie, cheat, steal.
Lie, cheat, and steal to win.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, I really wish Chris Paul would have been hurt in game one of the 2018 finals. I wish that was what we were talking about.
Well, could they have won that series?
Probably.
With Chris Paul hurt?
It would have been close.
It would have definitely been close.
The Warriors swept that Cavs team.
Yeah.
So, and the Rockets were right there to beat the Warriors. So
that was the series where J.R. Smith forgot what was happening?
In game one, yes.
Yeah.
Game one was the only close game. LeBron had a 50-point triple-double.
I think about it a little bit more. I think...
Rockets and six.
The Rockets would have done something dumb in that moment that would have...
It would be two teams giving the game back to each other.
Yeah, that would have made up for J.R. Smith doing that. Anyway, it is the Paul Gallant Show. Time for a little garbage time before we get out of here.
Oh, I love trash.
Garbage time.
It's garbage.
Starts now.
I'm the trash man.
This is garbage.
I've never seen this happen on a highway before, but it's one of my big fears. A truck that was driving on I-10 underneath the Houston Avenue Bridge, carrying large cylinders, hit said bridge at like 10 p.m. yesterday. The cylinders were too tall to pass under the bridge. The cylinders struck it. They spilled off the big rig. Who even knows what the hell is in that container? This is one of many times that this low bridge has been hit by an 18-wheeler in recent years. It's 14.3 feet above the interstate on the eastbound side. Yikes.
That does feel a little low.
That feels very low.
A couple feet too low. Are we sure this isn't just viral marketing for the new Final Destination movie? It's coming out.
Well, there's not this.
I thought that's where you're going with this.
No.
I thought the logs were going to fall off.
No. But this has happened a lot.
Yeah, in Final Destination can happen.
Yeah. If it's going to happen anywhere in Houston, it's on the eastbound side of I-10 underneath the Houston Avenue Bridge. So just an FYI. Or perhaps something that gives you anxiety next time you drive under that.
Not the one that says be somebody, right?
I don't think that's the one. No, but that's I think, a train track.
That is a train
track. That is a rather low train crossing.
I think that, too, because I look at it all the time.
Yeah. Does it make you want to be somebody?
It does. And I'm like, you know what? You know who the somebody I want to be, Paul?
Who?
Sean Mapes.
That's awesome. I want to be Paul Gallant. I also want to see that sign a little bit more. I don't see it very often. There is a list of the top barbecue places in the United States of America. But National Barbecue Day coming up May 16th, Yelp put together its top 10 barbecue cities in the U.S. The top two locations are in Texas. Congratulations to Austin and San Antonio. I'm sorry, they're the same city. No, Paul, no, they're not. They're actually looking over power. Nope, it's like Dallas and Fort Worth. It is the same city to me. Same city. It's ridiculous. Here's the list. Austin 1, San Antonio 2, Kansas City 3, Memphis 4, Charleston, South Carolina, kiss my ass, 5, that's off that place, Greenville, South Carolina 6, Honolulu 7, Tulsa, Oklahoma 8, Durham, North Carolina 9, Nashville, Tennessee, kiss my ass, that's number 10, that's ridiculous. It's a bunch of liberal BS, it's what it is.
Honolulu?
Yelp's on the list. Honolulu I get. I actually do get Honolulu.
You've had Honolulu barbecue?
Well, it's like a luau. Yeah, they got their own brand.
Okay.
But everything else is like, oh, these are just various versions of South Carolina and Texas and Kansas City.
If Austin and San Antonio are one city, I'm sorry, I have no idea how far away these two places are. But Charleston and Greenville,
yeah,
there could only be one. All right,
yeah, I agree.
We're not.
Charleston's great. I'm sorry, though. That city's too bougie to do barbecue, yeah. Right?
There's more cities in the Carolinas than there are Carolinas on this list. Get out of here.
And that's going to wrap up today's edition of the Paul Gallant Show. Big thanks to our texters, our callers, our YouTubers, our Twitchers, and everyone else who listened. For Sean Mapes behind the glass, I am merely Paul Gallant. So long, farewell, and have yourselves a wonderful Wednesday. The Killer Bees are next. Peace!
Listening to ESPN 97.5.